Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Sie wollen endlich durchstarten und planen den nächsten Investitionsschritt? Dann setzen Sie auf den Sachsenkredit Universal der Sächsischen Aufbaubank. Mit einem Tilgungszuschuss von bis zu 10% für KMU, Existenzgründer, Freiberufler, große privatgeführte Unternehmen sowie Ärzte und Apotheker im ländlichen Raum. Für Investitionen bis zu 20 Millionen Euro. Mit erleichtertem Zugang zur Förderung. Alle Infos online unter sab.sachsen.de/sachsenkredit-universal.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Frank Buschauer? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, and offer my analysis. Frank Buschauer was born on November 26, 1948, and lived in the state of Illinois. In 1996, he married a woman named Cynthia Sharon Risco. She was about 4 years younger than Frank, having been born in 1952. The couple lived on Overbrook Road in the Chicago suburb of South Barrington, Illinois. Frank was a chemical engineer, and Cynthia was a nutrition consultant. In November 1999, the couple adopted a son named David. He had been born in Russia and was 9 months old at the time of the adoption. After this, the couple was planning on adopting a girl, but that plan would never be realized. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On February 28, 2000, at 2:30 a.m., Frank called 911 and indicated that he found his 47-year-old wife unresponsive in the bathtub, in the master bathroom of their house. Frank told the operator, "My wife, I think she drowned." A South Barrington police officer arrived at the house in about 5 minutes. Frank took the officer upstairs to the master bathroom, where the officer saw Cynthia on the floor next to the whirlpool tub. The tub was full of hot water, and the jets were running. When the officer checked Cynthia, he realized that she was dead and warm to the touch. Frank told the officer that he had pulled his wife out of the tub after reaching under the foamy water and feeling her body. Other officers arrived on the scene. Here's what was found during the course of the investigation. An autopsy revealed that Cynthia had died from drowning, but how she drowned wasn't clear. It may have been an accident, or it may have been homicide. There were a number of injuries to Cynthia's body, which caused the medical examiner to describe her death as very suspicious. For example, there were scrapes on Cynthia's chin, scratches on her nose, scrapes on both her right and left knuckles, bruises on her neck, and hemorrhages in her neck, scalp, and left eye. The manner of death was ruled undetermined. The police interviewed friends of Cynthia, who told them about various statements Cynthia had made about her relationship with Frank. For 2 years, Frank and Cynthia had been arguing about issues related to the construction of their house. Frank's cousin was performing work on the house, and Cynthia was not happy with it. The couple was $200,000 over budget, and Cynthia wanted to file a lawsuit against Frank's cousin. Frank refused because he was concerned that a lawsuit would bankrupt his cousin. Whenever the topic was introduced, Frank would fly into a rage. Cynthia felt as though her husband was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. On one occasion, Cynthia said that Frank grabbed her around the neck, threatened her, and said he never should have married her. 4 days before she died, Cynthia told a friend that she was afraid of Frank. On March 6, 2000, the police interviewed Frank at the Hoffman Estates police station. He said that on the night of February 27, 2000, at around 9 p.m., Cynthia went upstairs to take a bath. At about 9:30 p.m., Frank went to bed. He heard Cynthia get into the bathtub and could hear the whirlpool jets running. He woke up at 2:30 a.m., now on February 28, after hearing his son crying. When he looked into the bathroom, it was full of foamy water, and he did not see Cynthia. He felt her body after reaching under the water. She was face down in the tub. Frank pulled Cynthia out of the tub and placed her face down on the floor. This is when he called 911. After a break in the interview with the police, Frank changed his story and said that he found Cynthia face up in the tub. Later, he changed it back to face down. After a lunch break, Frank told the police that he may have killed Cynthia, but he did not remember doing so. At about 6:35 p.m., Frank gave the police permission to search his house. At about 10:30 p.m., after being at the police station for 13 hours, the interview concluded. Investigators asked Frank to come back the next day. Frank showed up at the police station as planned, but told them he was not going to speak to them without an attorney. Sometime around July 2000, the investigation into Cynthia's death concluded without an arrest. There was not enough evidence to charge Frank, and the case went cold. Frank and his son moved an hour north to Pell Lake, Wisconsin, where Frank continued with his life. In 2010, the police reopened the investigation after the patrol officer who originally responded to the 911 call was promoted to detective. This officer always had a feeling that Frank killed Cynthia, and now he had his chance to build a case against Frank. The police approached the people who owned the house on Overbrook Road, where Cynthia died, and asked them if they could remove the bathtub. The owners granted them permission. The bathtub was taken to a fire station, where it was placed in a wooden frame to simulate where it sat in the house. In both 2010 and 2011, water death experts attempted to reconstruct the events leading up to Cynthia's death. They found it curious that Frank was not wet when the officer encountered him, even though Frank said he had just pulled his wife out of the bathtub. Furthermore, why were items around the edge of the bathtub undisturbed? One would think that moving Cynthia would have knocked those items off the tub. The experts became convinced that Frank was lying. The medical examiner changed the manner of death from undetermined to homicide, finding that Cynthia had been forcibly submerged. On April 24, 2013, the police approached Frank and asked if he would talk to them. Frank did not know it at the time, but the police already had an arrest warrant. Unwisely, Frank agreed to speak to the police without an attorney. During the interview, he admitted that the relationship with Cynthia was tumultuous. Frank said the arguments became violent. On one occasion, he shook Cynthia and told her he could kill her. He stated it was possible he killed Cynthia without remembering and admitted that he regretted marrying Cynthia in the first place. Later in the interview, Frank invoked his right to remain silent. He was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. Frank took his case to trial, but he waived his right to a jury trial. Instead, he elected to have a bench trial, so a judge would decide his fate. In 2019, Frank was found guilty and sentenced to 25 years in prison. His projected release date is August 18, 2047. At that time, Frank will be 98 years old. Now moving to my analysis. Frank Buschauer maintains his innocence, and he has a number of supporters, including his son and his sister. They argue that there was no murder. Cynthia's death was a tragic accident. Frank has been wrongly convicted. The state, of course, disagrees. They argue that Frank almost confessed, and the physical evidence points to his guilt. This brings me to the question, was Frank guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Cynthia and Frank frequently argued about the construction on their house. It was a sensitive issue involving one of Frank's family members and a lot of money. According to some of Cynthia's friends, Cynthia stated that her relationship with Frank was terrible. He had threatened to kill her and was violent. Cynthia said they no longer lived as husband and wife. Frank and Cynthia had written letters to each other as part of church-based marriage counseling, which included information about their tumultuous relationship. Frank indicated that their arguments had been extreme at times, and he was now on the attack. He admitted to threatening Cynthia physically. He wrote, quote, "There are times when I could kill you," unquote, and noted that divorce was better than assault or murder. When Frank called 911, other than Cynthia, he was the only adult in the house. He told the first officer on the scene that he pulled his wife out of the tub, but Frank was not wet. Furthermore, items positioned around the edge of the tub were not disturbed. Two water death experts concluded that Frank's story was probably not accurate. Cynthia had sustained a number of injuries, like bruises and abrasions, which could not be explained by accidental drowning. When Frank sat down for a formal interview with the police, he changed his story about whether his wife was face down or face up in the tub and said that he may have killed her. 13 years after Cynthia's death, when Frank was interviewed again, he made incriminating statements. An officer told Frank that it looked like homicide and he was the only one there. Frank responded, "Well, that's what I would certainly think." He also said the only way he could have committed the murder would be without any recall because he did not recall anything. Later, Frank stated he was sorry he ever married Cynthia. Moving to the exculpatory factors, Frank had no criminal record and no history of violence. After his wife's death, he continued to stay out of trouble. Many people who knew him thought that Frank was incapable of violence. Even the state admitted that Frank was a nice guy who did not act like a killer. Cynthia was described as materialistic, legalistic, and overbearing. She had rheumatoid arthritis and, for a time, had to use a wheelchair. She would frequently take whirlpool baths in hot water. Maybe Cynthia passed out from her poor physical condition or medication that she was taking. As far as the unexplained injuries that Cynthia had sustained, most of them were minor. She only weighed 96 pounds. One of Frank's supporters suggested that the whirlpool jets may have applied force to Cynthia's body and pushed her into the sides of the tub after her death. The idea that water death experts can figure out how somebody drowned in a bathtub is controversial. It would be reasonable to dismiss all the conclusions made from the reconstruction. Frank used the words assault and murder in one of the letters he wrote to Cynthia. However, these words came directly from a marriage counseling workbook the couple had been using. The book was referring to the worst outcome a couple in distress could experience. When considering all the evidence, do I think that Frank Buschhauser was guilty? Yes, in my opinion, he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Charges should have been pursued right after Cynthia's death. The idea that she was bounced around by the whirlpool jets after her death is difficult to believe. What type of jets did this tub have? Was the tub powered by actual jet engines? Like it had the settings of low, medium, high, and tsunami? It is much more likely that Frank caused the injuries to Cynthia, not some 50,000 horsepower weather simulating bathtub with aspirations of being a theme park ride. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Frank and Cynthia argued a lot about the construction of the house. Cynthia was unhappy about the cost and because the quality of the construction was inferior. For example, she reported that windows and doors would not open. This became a metaphor for how she felt trapped. Cynthia wanted Frank to take her concerns seriously. Frank wanted Cynthia to stop talking about suing his cousin. The couple found themselves at an impasse. Frank drowned his wife in the heat of the moment due to their ongoing disagreement. After the murder, he had feelings of ambivalence as far as taking responsibility. On the one hand, Frank wanted to admit guilt because that would allow him to freely talk about how Cynthia was terrible and unreasonable. On the other hand, Frank wanted to avoid spending his life in prison. By making vague statements, like he may have killed his wife but did not remember, Frank was playing with fire. He was trying to have it all, admitting guilt without suffering the consequences. In his efforts to make a splash, Frank found himself in hot water.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.